Is it barking really loud?
Now.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Midcasters episode 18. I'm your co-host Jalen, joined by the always amazing Craig, and again, duo Katie. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Awesome, awesome. It's finally fall. The leaves are changing. Not in Arizona, but some places, I'm sure they are. We have some news and not so much news today, and things that make you ponder why things are the way that they are. So let's dive in to Spider-Man 4, which I'm not sure is needed, but that's neither here nor there. It has been officially confirmed by Tom Holland himself that filming will start summer 2025, and he has also been casted in a new Nolan film. What are your guys' thoughts on that, given his track record outside of the MCU?
I'll let Katie go first.
Yeah, so for me, I think it's a great thing for him. But I also think that he's always been amazing. I think he's always been a great actor. I personally believe he's always brought something different to each role that he's taken outside of Spider-Man. And, you know, I just think the only issue is that those movies just didn't do too well, like TV show and movie. This is super exciting for him, too. So I think he's going to have... I think it's going to be good for him to have an amazing director who is now an Oscar winner, and he's going to have a lot more direction as well. And yeah, I think with Chris Nolan, we all know, like, now he's an Oscar winner, so it could go anywhere. But I also think that I just have always had my eyes on Tom Holland, even outside of Spider-Man, and actually The Devil All the Time is like my favorite performance from him outside of Spider-Man. But yeah, this is super exciting for him. I'm very stoked to see it. So, yeah.
He's very diverse in his work. His last show was The Crowded Room with Amanda Seyfried, which I love but kind of didn't love because it's like it takes a while to get into before you actually know what's going on. Uncharted, right. Which I might be one of the very few that actually enjoyed it. And then he was on the West End's Romeo and Juliet, which I think is still in production. But hopefully it's good for him, because I think he needs a break away from the Russo brothers, because he doesn't necessarily have the best project record. I think he just needs to break away from that Spider-Man umbrella.
But the Russo brothers, that's a major understatement.
He's trying. I've
seen one of their films outside the MCU when I couldn't even get past 20 minutes. Yeah, it was not good, to say the least. And Tom Holland, I think there is potential there, but I think it's just a matter of picking the right projects, because Nolan definitely has the ability to bring out the best in pretty much everyone. So this is great for him.
And it's a different way that he makes films too, like the whole not being able to sit down during takes or anything like that. So I think this will be a really good test for him. And if it goes well, and obviously he's going to be with Matt Damon co-starring in this, so hopefully it goes well and he's able to get different roles outside of Marvel.
Yeah, both fingers crossed.
Maybe Zendaya put him up for it. Who knows? Because she is awesome in literally everything that she's in. She's great.
My only problem with Zendaya, I like Zendaya, but my only problem is that when I watch her act, I'm seeing Zendaya. I'm not seeing the character she's playing. With Tom, I do feel like I'm seeing whatever character he's playing. Even if the story isn't necessarily, you know, constructed very well, I do think that he has more range than she does.
You know what? I didn't think about it like that, but I mean, I think I'm just still under the whole scope of Challenger, which is like the most freaking awesome film that I've seen this year. But let's move on to some other Marvel news so we can get that out of the way. Blade. Delayed, scrapped, but regardless, it's off the schedule, but they do have three unnamed films for February, May, and November of 2028. Two directors, all the writers, too many to count, have all left. I don't know if there's anybody else attached to it besides the lead actors, but let's remember this was first announced in 2019. In nearly every project that was announced has been made, with the exception of this one. So what is so hard about this film that it's just not getting made?
It is so sad to see that Ryan Coogler is making a vampire film before they are, and they announced this 4 years ago.
Maybe they're like, let's see how they do it so that way we can copy and paste it.
Yeah. Literally.
I don't think it's ever going to get made at this point. If I was Mahershala, I would call it quits. He does not need them.
No. I'm surprised he hasn't left yet, to be honest. I mean, I knew when he had announced that he was in Jurassic World, whatever number, I was like, oh yeah, that movie's not getting made, guys.
I don't get it. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, they need to crack the movie. What about the movie it is that they need to crack? Because they have three movies, countless vampire thing. I mean, like, heck, they can even do something kind of similar to Underworld or Resident Evil, make it something like that, but who knows?
Man, dude, I don't know what their deal is. I mean, it's just, at this point, it's like, okay, we're not doing, it's not going to happen. Like, just get out.
Stop trying to make Fetch happen.
Right. It's over.
And what was the last movie that he was in? The Green Book?
The last movie he was in was The World Left Behind or something like that.
Oh, yes, Netflix. Yes, that's right. I did like that movie. I might be one of the few who actually liked that movie as well.
For the maybe. Love of me, I could not understand it.
Oh my gosh. Well, maybe Deadpool and Wolverine cursed the Blade remake, or maybe Kevin Feige's pissed and he's like, you know what? Now no one's going to get it.
Only one Blade. There will ever only be one Blade.
And I've never only seen one Blade. Oh my gosh. My God. But we have some other interesting news that I just wasn't, like, I was confused by, because I thought we had determined that some actors are too old to play prince and princesses, but regardless, Chris Hemsworth might be Prince Charming. It seems right, because he seems ditzy enough to play Prince Charming, but I'm like, if he can be Prince Charming, then Florence Pugh needs to be Rapunzel. I've said what I've said.
Nah, chuck him out of here.
Right. I don't know if it's live action or if it's an animated film, but I was unaware there was ever going to be another one being done.
I think whoever it is, they need to be, whoever the prince is, needs to be closer to Florence's age.
Florence Pugh would be fantastic as Rapunzel. I'm just saying. Katie, what are your thoughts?
Say it was going to be action, or did they?
They haven't really dived into too much of it, so I'm going to assume is Chris Hemsworth, it is going to be live action. But then I'm like, okay, well, it would make more sense if they did it as animated, because how many live actions of Cinderella have they done?
Fair point.
It's like, my Cinderella is the one with Hilary Duff, even though that's literally not it.
Yeah,
it's so interesting.
I don't know. It's just so weird. Is Prince Charming, is he supposed to be Cinderella, or is he supposed to be?
Yeah, that's Cinderella's guy, but like, I don't really hear him talk in it or anything.
I don't either.
He doesn't sing. He just has the shoe. So it might be live action. Who knows? I don't know.
For me, it's interesting because it's like, it would just focus on the prince, right? Like, just like his backstory, I'm assuming.
You know what? That's a good point, because why would they announce him first and not Cinderella? You know what, girl? That's a good point.
Well, like, because, like, I thought, off? No, that's the thing, is, like, I don't think we need to, like, you're already making live-action Disney princess movies. Why do you need to just do the most boring prince out of all of them, which is, like, Prince Charming? He's, like, so boring. Like, he doesn't
do anything. Like, my hear-me-out prince next to Prince Eric.
Prince Eric.
Yeah. No, he was the live action Prince Eric was cute.
I would do Prince Eric at least. And, but I mean, the thing is like with Prince Charming, I guess I don't get it because it's like he didn't do much.
Yeah, especially with Chris Hemsworth. Like I could see Chris Hemsworth maybe doing the live action Hercules because he has that type of figure. And I don't know if he can sing.
Yeah.
But that's besides the point. I still think maybe Scarlett Johansson could do like Meg because I think she would kill it with a singing part. But Chris Hemsworth singing, I don't know.
I need young people playing. I need young actors playing those roles. I do not want to see a 40-something-year-old Chris Hemsworth playing Hercules.
No.
I'm just saying, sexism. Because they were all up in arms about Florence Pugh playing when she was literally the perfect casting.
Right.
Or like Sebastian Stan. Oh my gosh, he would do killer as Flynn Rider.
We got to.
I don't know about the singing part, but.
Okay, now that I can get behind.
Yeah, see, it matches because it's like nobody really likes. I mean, people love Rapunzel, but like it's not like Cinderella or Sleeping Beauty or something like that.
I think, so I looked it up recently, and I think Flynn Rider is supposed to be 23 or 26, I think, or something like that. Do you guys know who Milo Manheim is?
Is that the guy from The Last of Us? Not The Last of Us.
No. So he was in, did anyone watch, like, School Spirits or, like, Zombies?
It's not ringing a bell in my brain. No. I've heard Milo, but I'm thinking of a different Milo.
He's got black hair. He was in Thanksgiving. He was the boyfriend, or he was like the guy that was trying to hit. He was one of the boyfriends, I think. He's got black hair, and the way that he interacts with fans, it's very golden retriever, very like sweet, but like he kind of, people think he'd be a great Flynn Rider. He just has black hair. That's the only thing. But but they could always he could always wear a wig. He's 23. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You know what I miss back in the day is like they would do these movies of like Prince, like obviously remember John Cusack and Meg Ryan, they were in Anastasia, but they weren't the ones actually singing. I was like, I miss those days when they would just bring good singers in, like Jodie Benson in to sing these songs. And I was like,
right. Which is like, what they should do.
Because like if he's doing it and it's not live action, then who would sing? Because I think, what's his name? Didn't Zachary Levi sing his own music for Tangled? I think he did.
I don't know.
He was good in that movie. That's the one movie he's ever good in.
The one movie that he's not even in. He's basically like, you don't see his face. The one that we don't see him in. Yeah. You just hear his voice. That's the best version of him. We don't need to see your face, just your voice.
Yeah, we don't need to hear anything else from him. Yep. Right. But you know what? Speaking of Chris Evans, I'm not Chris Evans, Sebastian Stan, he had mentioned he would like to be the Riddler. And he also is trying to get Chris Evans to do a play with him. This is from the Sad, Happy, Confused podcast. So what do y'all think? Katie, let's start with you.
Well, the play thing, you know, to be honest, I am that person, like, I will give Chris Evans a chance. So if he did do a play, you know, maybe he'd prove something for once. So I'll always give that a chance. I don't exactly know, like, what the subject would be or something, but...
He did Lobby Hero.
He what?
He did Lobby Hero.
Like a play?
Yeah, it was a play. He is the one when he had the mustache.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it was, like, with the dude... Oh, my gosh, I can't remember his name. He played Alan in Barbie.
Oh, Michael Cera. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
His only play.
I mean, I think I would give Chris Evans a chance at it. I like Chris Evans because he has had some roles in the past. Mm-hmm. But then with the Riddler for Seb, I'm mid on it. Like, I think he'd do great, but I think he'd be a different approach because when I think of Riddler, I think of Jim Carrey. And then it's like, okay, well, you seem like a pretty calm dude. Like, he's got a lot of, like, kind of relaxed energy. So for the Riddler, I think it'd be interesting to see his approach and how he would do it. But mm-hmm. a lot of people also said he'd be really good at playing Two-Face as well. I think there are better actors for the Riddler, but mm-hmm. if he's wanting to do it and he can show, you know, James Gunn, like, hey, I got this, like, do it, you know?
Do you think he could do DC and Marvel at the same time? I know I don't think we have not seen it yet, but I think if it's anybody that it could be him and it could be Margot Robbie because she would be freaking phenomenal in Marvel.
Yeah. I think he could double dip. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think he's got good connections, and I think Marvel and DC sort of have, since they have James Gunn, like, on both mm-hmm. sides, I feel like James Gunn is like that dude that's like, hey, since I work for DC, still love you guys, you know? So mm-hmm. I think it would work. I don't think there'd be an issue about it, personally.
I would be excited to see if he does anything. I don't think I've seen him in a Warner Brothers movie, to be honest. But, I mean, I don't know if you mm-hmm. can consider, like, the CW stuff he did. Like, I mean, technically it is Warner Brothers, but it's not, like, a film. Mm-hmm. I do want to see him do another movie with Margot Robbie, because I think that movie might be the movie that actually gets him his Oscar.
Be cool.
Justice for Itania.
Literally.
Craig, what do you think?
I want to know what weed he is smoking because I want some of it.
Hey, he's willing to look silly like Ryan Gosling, and I can appreciate him for that.
No. I'm not talking about the Joker. I mean, the Riddler situation. I'm talking about the Chris Evans situation. Lord. Chris Evans, nothing against him. Personally, I think he's better as a comedic actor. Mm-hmm. And
rom-com guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Not and, Ghosted.
Right.
I really hate that movie. I'm sorry. I'm going to put that in my bio. I hate Ghosted.
But Sebastian, I think, I've said this before, I think the nicest people play the best roles. Like, Sebastian Stan is, like, the nicest dude, but he plays such, like, demonic characters with tragic, like, backstories and trauma, and he's just a very relaxed dude. And I'd rather see him play Harvey Dent, Two-Face, than Riddler. But, I mean, if that's what he wants to do, then... I mean, call up James Gunn.
Can you imagine him as Bruce Wayne? Not just Batman, just Bruce Wayne.
I think he's got the demeanor for it, personally. But go ahead, Craig,
I'd rather see him play a villain.
Yeah, we don't see him enough in villain role. That is true, because he was really good and fresh. And it's like, you can't hate him, but you do hate him. But at the end of the day, you're like, oh my gosh, I hope he's okay.
Yeah.
That was me the whole time with Fresh. I was like, I hope he's okay. And you're like, oh no, he's not.
I think he would, man, if he was a villain, he'd be scary, I think. Because he's so, his demeanor, like, I just think, I haven't seen him go crazy. Like, he played Mad Hatter in Once Upon a Time, which was fine. But I just think he'd be scary as a villain. Because I think he would just be very calm and, but, like, be one of those people that like you like very unpredictable, like he just kills somebody mm-hmm. right like immediately, kind of like Fade Rada, like he just hits like just stabs that person like out of nowhere. Like he I just think he'd be soldier, really though, scary if he took on like right yeah I like would really first, I, yeah I was I afraid of something that. Really scary
oh gosh like yeah. a horror movie yeah. like an A24 right. psychological thriller like Hereditary or something.
Yes. I'd like to see him play more. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Sebastian Stan, if you hear this, please. Also, we like more shirtless scenes, please.
Yep.
But you know, there's like one role that I think he would kind of be cool in to see. I don't think he'd get it, but American Psycho, not in the reboot, but in the readaptation, I guess you would call it. With Luca Guadagnino, which I'm pretty sure I butchered his last name, so I'm sorry. They're not doing a remake. They're just, he's just doing his own thing. It's kind of like Twisters. But some names that I think would be awesome. And then it's Sebastian Stan, Jacob Elordi, and let's gender swap. Aubrey freaking Plaza would get an Oscar in this movie. No doubt about it.
Right. Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Like for me, I think Sebastian's okay. That's actually a really good one because I think he'd be really good at it. But I think they also, I think Variety also said Margaret Qualley, like after watching The Substance, I think she'd be an interesting choice too. Yeah, for me, you know, I'm not opposed to Jacob Elordi. Go for it. Like, you got it, sir. But like, then at the same time, I'm also down for, like, I have my four, which is Finn Wittrock, Bill Skarsgård, Evan Peters, and Jack Quaid. So those are my four.
Evan Peters needs a nice, pleasant, happy movie away from Ryan Murphy.
I know. The only reason I said Evan Peters is because the horror genre is his. Like, he's a horror king. So I just had to put him in there. Yeah.
Ooh, so. Or Barry Keoghan. Like, I saw him in that movie with Colin Farrell.
I was just going to say that.
What was the movie with Colin Farrell? I forgot the name of it now.
The Sacred Deer or something?
Yeah.
Banshees of Inisherin?
Well, that too. I was like, man, he just has that look that would, like, be a Stanley Kubrick look.
Yeah.
He would, like, brick and kill it. I'm actually excited for this because I kind of watched the one with Christian Bale, but I never made it through it just because... I don't know. It really wasn't my vibe. So maybe this re-adaptation will make it better.
Yeah.
But goodness. That leads into some questions about what film has disappointed you most this year.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about this.
Craig has some. Do you want to start, Craig?
Hold on, let me bring up my list. Katie, I'll let you go first.
Okay, so the one that just comes to mind immediately, I think all the ones that I've seen I've actually enjoyed. So 2024 has been decent for me personally. I've been pretty happy. I was very sad about The Crow, and then I was also disappointed in Beetlejuice 2. I think those are my top two that I was like, shoot, you know, because I was really excited for them, and then total just... not good. Like, I'm sorry, and I got ripped to shreds in the comments for Beetlejuice 2, but I was mean, so it's fine. But like, Beetlejuice 2 is just, it's not good. It's so many things were wrong, and then The Crow was so boring. They could have done so much more with it, and so those are my top two.
Mine. I feel like people know me if I say this. Deadpool and Wolverine. I didn't think it was funny. It just kind of made me think, like, he always adds unnecessary comedy because he never has anything interesting to add to the scene. That's how I kind of see it. And it's just like, comes off as childish 13-year-old jokes. And when they said it wasn't going to affect Logan, but it does kind of affect Logan because now there's a new Logan in the Logan universe. I'm like, okay, so it's just kind of hypocritical. Spaceman, I was so exceptionally disappointed by I just thought that could have been like Adam Sandler's final moment to actually get an Oscar, other than Uncut Gems. I was just disappointed in it. Could have been a better story. The ISS, just another one that I just felt like could have been more of a psychological thriller. And then Trap. Way too much music. We should have got into it. He should have bought the ticket online. Technically, they already had him if they found the ticket. And he should have just done the interviews. But he was just talking too much. So he got himself in trouble.
I forgot about Trap. That was disappointing. That was really underwhelming.
The music just kept going. I was like, and then he just kept walking away. And I'm like, okay, you're getting yourself in more trouble with this. Like, just answer the questions and get out of the interview. Like, right. What are we doing?
I just saw that they put that on HBO Max and I added it to my list. And I can't wait to watch and review that.
He's really menacing. I do want to see him do more villain roles.
Josh Hartnett? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Josh, he was good in it. It's just like, it totally dragged on way too long. And also, they could have done, it was a mess.
Plus, could be a second one, which I don't think we need, but we all know Hollywood, they'll probably make it.
Freaking, oh my God, Kingdom of the Planet. And I just wanted the female character Maya that did the apes dirty. I was like, yeah, maul her to death, because the way she was manipulating everyone, I absolutely despised that. And it felt like the first half felt like a revenge film. The second half felt like they were retreading old, you know, story beats with the humans and the apes, you know, getting along and stuff like that. And then she tried to kill Noah at the end when she brought a gun. So I was just like, well, you know, I would have gave her to the other king ape.
I forgot about that movie just because I've never seen any Planet of the Apes movie.
Yeah, you should check out the first three. It was just get the human characters out of there. Twisters, I did not care about that. Twisters was disappointing because the opening scene was great. The VFX and it's a film about the main lead, I can't remember her character's name, Kate or whatever it is. It's just about PTSD. And I'm like, I paid like $10 to see this.
There should be like a Hurricane version of that movie. And that would be her too.
I don't know if this was on purpose, but they made her very like, she came off like a dick. Like she after the tornado or twister in the beginning of the film, she left home for like 5 years and then she never even said anything to anybody, not even her mom.
I don't know why I thought that the mom was going to be like the chick from the original, even though I knew that they said it had nothing to do with the original. But I was still like surprised.
That's who I thought the mom was going to be. I thought the mom was going to be Helen Hunt.
Yeah. No, I knew it wasn't going to be her, like realistically, but I still wanted to hope that it would be. But I'm like, I know it has nothing to do with the original. You got to move on. I like the movie. I had a fun time with it. It's the year of Glenn Powell.
I agree, but I don't think that I like Hitman better.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think that him and Daisy Edgar had any kind of like romantic chemistry. We don't always necessarily need that in certain films like that.
That's valid. Okay. Well, let's lead into another topic that we got. Oscar contenders. And this is a list that I found. Sing Sing, Conclave, Anora, Nickel Boys, The Brutalist, Emilia Perez, Dune Part 2, The Substance, Piano Lesson, Maria, and The Complete Unknown. I got beef with this list. I mean, Dune 2 is perfectly fine on here, but where's The Hitman, His Three Daughters, Challengers, Bike Riders, Civil War? I really do think Hitman could win. Maria might be a good one once it comes out because it looks exceptionally good.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts on this list and what would you include on this list?
I would say I've been seeing a lot of buzz for the like a lot of so like Conclave, The Brutalist, Anora. I think was Blitz on there. I think it's one with Saoirse Ronan or The Outrun or something like that. Mm. She's in two.
Yeah. Cause she There's might not- have a nomination this year.
Right. So Saoirse Ronan's gonna do, I can't remember which one it was they were talking about. But anyway, what I would personally include, I think it has the potential to be on the list, but Saturday Night I think would be a good contender. I'm gonna go for, I think Wicked will probably be on there too. I also think Gladiator too. I also think Nosferatu, but that's my opinion. I know I haven't seen them yet, but I just have this feeling. The Academy is still good. I'm in there. I do. Mm-hmm. Did I pause?
A little bit, yeah.
You're fine now.
Am I good? Okay. Sorry. Okay. The internet today, sorry about that. Right? And, but yeah, no, honestly, like, I think Bike Riders could sneak in. I'd love to see Bike Riders in there. Even though it wasn't, like, my favorite thing, it'd be really cool to see for them.
But yeah, Jodie Comer, I think, could get a nomination, to be honest. I think she goes really under the radar for a lot of her performances. That one movie... it was like apocalyptic. It was like it took place in London. She had her baby and there was like a huge flood. Okay. The Outrun, something. It Ends like With Us or something. Yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch had a small role in it. Highly recommended if you haven't seen it. I think she could get her nomination for this movie though, because comparing her with her original chick, I was like blown away.
I think it's possible. I'm rooting for that nomination, to be honest. I'm rooting for I think also what else was I gonna say? Oh yeah, so for me personally, I'd like to see Austin get nominated for supporting Austin Butler. And then I think Timothy will get campaigned for Paul Atreides and for Bob Dylan, which is exciting.
I think Austin Butler can get for both movies, to be honest. And then Tom Hardy, obviously. I think Tom Hardy did really good, even though I could barely understand him the entire movie. I was like, what? You had to
it's
stop
still
rumbling.
A good movie. It is. Yeah, it's still a good movie. It just wasn't my deal. But
look,
go ahead,
Jamie,
Grace.
It's just a movie you vibe to.
I
who
vibe
doesn't want to see cool badass dudes riding around in motorcycles?
Oh, yeah. That's America right there, man. A motorcycle club.
Just Austin. Austin should get two. I definitely agree. I prefer, I don't know which one I prefer, but he was more menacing in Dune Part Two, but he was more cool and, you know, badass in The Bike Riders. But I think Tom Hardy, he's a great actor, but he does a way better job when it comes to supporting roles.
He does have a lot of good movies. The one movie that I think he should have won for, like, personally, like, as a lead actor would be Warrior. Because I just think that film is just so well done. And that's probably, like, one of the few movies that, like, gives me chills even till this day, like, watching it. I think he goes under the radar with, like, a lot of the things he does. Because he gives, like, 150%.
Oh, for sure. It's awesome. I think he's really good at playing supporting, but he'll have his time. So he'll come.
So will Florence Pugh. I did see that she is going to be campaigned, and then Rebecca Ferguson for a supporting actor, which I think is very possible. Unfortunately, I don't think Zendaya is going to get the nomination for that movie. More for Challengers, in my opinion, because that girl could win for lead.
Wild Robot, I do think Wild Robot can get an animated and best picture. Bike Riders, I think that can also get into adapted screenplay. Probably, I think it should also get nominated for sound mixing because I love the sounds of the motorcycle throughout the films.
I did like his three daughters. I feel like that has gone under the radar too this year, just because I feel like all three of them could be nominated for lead, and I feel like they all offered something, and it had me like sobbing at the end and made me realize Elizabeth Olsen doesn't need to be in Marvel anymore because she's freaking awesome, and more people deserve to see her outside of Marvel.
Right. I concur.
Yeah.
And I think they're campaigning that movie, right? I think they're campaigning that movie for her, right?
Yeah, if Netflix does any movie, okay, I'm sorry. Good. Like, let's get Maria out of there. It has to be his three daughters. Netflix needs to focus on just like one movie, because that's always been my beef with Netflix: is they either focus on too many movies or the wrong movie.
Yeah, and sometimes they promote the worst one.
I liked Rebel Ridge too.
There was one movie that they didn't campaign that I feel like probably would have won, Fair Play. That was always my beef. It's like, that should have been the movie that was campaigned for Oscars. Because somebody was like, that's a movie that makes a movie star. Like, I was just so blown away by Alden and she's in Bridgerton. I can't remember her name right now, but like, I was just so blown away by their performances. And I don't remember what movie it was that they campaigned in place. Maybe December might have been that movie, to be honest. But
what films do
Charles Melton was snubbed?
What?
What films would y'all like to see in Best Picture?
His Three Daughters, Civil War, Challengers, because I was just absolutely the music is like something you gotta like really adapt to, but it's grown on me. Said Civil War, said Dune Part Two. If it's a sci-fi movie that actually wins for Best Picture, it's gonna be Dune, and I think that's probably one of the best sequels and best sci-fi films ever made, next to Empire Strikes Back.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Katie?
I agree. What was the question?
A film you like to see in the Best Picture nomination?
I would say so. It's movies. So the top three for me, obviously, I think Dune 2 is obviously going to get it, and then Gladiator 2, and then I would like to see Nosferatu. I do think they're going to treat horror nicely this year, especially seeing that. I think even Long Legs might have potential to get in there, possibly. I'd like to see those three films. And I would really like to see Saturday Night sneak in. I also think I'd be okay with Bike Riders in there. I'm trying to think what else. It'd be really cool to see Rebel Ridge, because that was a really good Netflix movie, too.
I'll have to add that one to my list.
That was, like, a really good movie. I think those are my top at the moment. And if one other comes to mind, I'll share it. But
what do you think stops the Academy from recognizing horror films and, I guess, superhero films, or, like, more sci-fi films in general?
I don't think they take it seriously. Like, I just think it's one of those things where they're like, oh, horror is supposed to be fun and like scary. And like, we just don't like, if you look at the Academy, a lot of it is, I think a lot of it is like biopics, historical drama, like really like just kind of deep things, like stories, like real people based on real things and blah, blah, blah. And then you look at superheroes and then they're like, oh, that's too fictional. We can't have that. Like, it's weird. This is interesting to me too, because it's like their performances in the movie is just as good. Like, it can be just as good as like these other historical things that you're nominating or you're, you know, whatever. So I think it's just because they think it's too mainstream, it's too fun, it's too much fantasy, and they don't think it's good enough, which is really, really stupid. But
that's what always got me, because like when I saw The Barbarian, I was like, this is a movie that wins an Oscar. And then nothing came of it, no acting, anything. And it's just like, I say comedy, horror, and then sci-fi are like way harder than any biopic that can be done, because you're essentially acting with like a stick or like a green screen. So that imagination really has to be there. and just that emotion has to be there. Whereas a biopic, you're acting opposite of somebody.
Right.
And
it's really,
do you think it's more insulting to see those movies nominated in subcategories or for them not to be considered at all?
I think not to be considered at all, because like Angela Bassett, for example, like if she was not nominated, I would have rioted. Not right. Really, but like, so she still should have won for that. It's just like, yeah, they're still great performances. They're giving 150%. They're good actors. They wouldn't have signed up for this movie for the fun of it. And if they can't act, then that just means to me they lack the imagination to create that world and that setting to be able to do those scenes.
Right. And maybe, go ahead.
Maybe Dune 2 will change that. It just takes one superhero film or one sci-fi film or a horror film to kind of change that narrative.
Yeah.
It's funny because Eddie Murphy, he talked about this. He said that when a dramatic, I didn't even think about this until he said it. He said when a dramatic actor like Robert De Niro or a Samuel Jackson, if one of them do a comedy film, they're nominated for a bunch of awards. But if a comedy actor does a dramatic film, that's when they receive a nomination.
Jennifer Lawrence was nominated, oddly, for her comedy movie. That made no sense to me. Movie wasn't funny for me. I tried. I think the trailers knocked it out for me. I was like, oh, well, every joke was told in this.
Yeah.
It was like when Poor Things won. I was like, oh. It's not like, I didn't personally think that was a performance that should have won awards for anything. No.
Lily Gladstone should have gotten it. 100% Lily should have gotten it. I love Emma Stone with my whole heart, but like, I'm not for that movie. It should have been Lily. It should have been Lily.
You're getting nominated for the kindness that I've already forgotten about because I didn't say.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Maybe for more serious roles. I thought that Lily was going to win because it's Martin Scorsese and it's usually like a log unless you're Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right.
But
it's weird. Like,
Micah Monroe, I absolutely adore her. She is one of my favorite screen queens. She needs to receive a nomination for something.
Yes. I hope for Long Legs, like, because they're saying she's kind of like a, Silence of the Lambs, she's kind of like a Jodie Foster in Silence of the Lambs in Long Legs. So she has the potential, I think, to get nominated for, it'd be leading, I would assume, right? Right.
Yeah.
It's always hard to, like, know what you should do the categories as, because, like, challengers, technically, they could all do lead actor.
Right.
I think it just like depends on like who's in the it depends on who's in the category. Cuz I think Michelle Pfeiffer? I think she was like put into one of them and I don't remember what movie it was for, but it was like, oh, it was easier for her to win and lead rather than supporting, and I was like, "Well, why would you do that?"
That's just like when they gave the Oscar to what was the actress in Marriage Story?
Justice for Scarlett Johansson in Marriage Story. Laura Dern was good. Don't get me wrong. She was great. But Scarlett Johansson was better in Jojo Rabbit, Avi. She should have won two Oscars that night. And then Adam Driver should have won his Oscar. I got beef because that is like the best movie Netflix has ever done.
I would definitely put it in my top 10.
It's so funny because it's just funny because it's like, you know, I have like the Oscars party. Like, I always have an Oscars party. I love award season, I really do, but my god, I get so mad because I just feel like I'm always rooting for the opposite one that wins. Like, the one that I want to win never does, or they do, but like it's never the Oscar, it's always like SAG or Critics Choice, and I'm like,
it's because they're racist.
So funny. but
yeah,
and sexist. What was his name that said that? And he's like, yeah, this is my last time hosting. I don't care anymore.
God,
I love that dude. He needs to host everything. I don't care. I saw Ryan
Reynolds. Oh, he called them all out. It's hilarious.
I know. I need him to just host everything because he makes things funner.
I know who you're talking about. I can't remember his name, but I thought it was absolutely hilarious when he said Morgan.
I don't know why I think it's him. It's not him.
I thought it was Richie Jarvis.
Oh yes, Richie. Yo, yeah.
Ricky, yes. Ricky Gervais.
Yes. I'm sorry. There. Okay.
There you go. I got you. I got you.
I'm sorry. His roast on Leo for dating younger girls was absolutely hysterical.
The way he like plays into it, yes. He's like, "Yeah, I know I date younger women. I don't care."
He's like, "Come on, Leo, you're nearly 50."
And he goes, "Yeah, y'all were with Harvey Weinstein. Yeah, we do know that, guys. Thank you for calling it out." He should.
They have the list.
Yeah. They should. He should host the Oscars though. Screw Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman. I want
to see it. I think it'd be fun.
Girl, I will not be watching the Oscars if that's the case because they said they want to nominate them for lead actors. I'm like,
oh, they're not gonna get that. They're not gonna.
I was like, okay, well, he should have won for Prisoners to begin with. When he's not gonna win for this movie.
They're not gonna get nominated.
Hugh Jackman should have gotten a nomination for Logan.
True. That would have changed the superhero game, in my opinion, if he would have won. But Prisoners, I think, should have been like the first ones he's won for.
Right.
Wild Robot, Civil War, and Dune Part 2 should definitely receive nominations. And if Hitman doesn't get in, we're going to war.
And he helped write it, too, which makes it even better for Glenn Powell. I think it sucks that Netflix picked it up because Netflix likely won't push it. And it sucks because Netflix sucks. Except for their documentaries, they're pretty good.
Speaking of Netflix, like, are y'all actually surprised that, like, so far Netflix has put out a few, maybe 4 to 5 good films this year? And I'm pleasantly surprised by that because usually their stuff is trash. Mid.
Yeah. Not counting the stuff that they like buy after the fact. I meant like actual original productions. I think they've done pretty good with the exception of anything Millie Bobby Brown is in. Because Damsel, I turned off after 10 minutes.
I didn't know. Do. I couldn't.
Justice for Ray Winston and Angela Bassett.
Lord.
That movie was so bad. That's the only movie I've ever turned. I was like, nope. I'm done.
How much do you think Angela Bassett got paid for that? Just to
not
show
enough. Probably like $5 million. She's not asking for enough, clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I like her. She has a lot of diversity, especially because she's still doing that show on 10 or Fox. I don't know why I just said 10. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she should have so many.
No, Netflix has been surprising me.
They really have. Hopefully it's a new changing Netflix, I think, of leaf.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think they're focusing more on quality than quantity, hopefully, because I know that somebody said, I think I heard a thing about that, which they should be doing. So I'm glad to hear that. But I think they need to keep rocking with it, clean up their act, like keep making good films and
put films in theaters is my thing. Like, that's my babe. Like, if you're going to buy the film after, like for example, Maria, like that's a film that needs to be seen in a theater. Like, I need to see Angelina Jolie opera sing in theaters. And then like History Daughters couldn't see it in the theaters. It's just like, you're not losing anything by putting movies in the theaters. Why won't you just do it? Like, I get your streaming service, but if you don't change the times, then people are gonna move on.
I think they'd gain more if they did theaters personally.
Remember Air? That made so much money in the theaters. I loved seeing that movie. My sister she doesn't love sports movies, but that she loved that movie. She goes, "I love Air."
It was such a good movie too. It was solid. Like it was, yeah. It was.
Where was the awards? That should have won awards. It's because it was really.
I think it got nominated for a Golden Globe, right?
Oh, Dan.
Yeah.
Or Matt Damon got nominated for a Golden Globe or something.
Oh yeah, I think he did. I think it should have been nominated more, like pushed more. But I think that's the problem with these streamers is they don't want to push. Whereas you're gonna see Warner Brothers like throw so much money to like get these things marketed, get these things like all these things. But yeah, hopefully we'll see some more things in the theaters. But that was episode 18 of the Midcasters. We were joined by the amazing Katie again, second timer. How does it feel to be the only second timer on this show?
I feel special. I feel honored, honestly. So thank you for this. This is always so fun. I love talking to y'all, especially with the news. I feel like this past couple of weeks, we've had a lot of really good, amazing news that we can talk about, which I've talked about it on my TikTok. So it's always nice to chat with you too.
Awesome. And Katie, where can they find you on social media?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram and TikTok. My handle is just at Lil Katie TV. So LIL, and then it's just KATIE TV. TV. So
awesome. And Craig, always a pleasure. Where can they find you?
On all socials at Craig Jr. 97.
And you can find me at themidcasters.com and Lost in Life Translation on nearly everything. But yeah, that is episode 18 this week. Once again, we're joined by the awesome Katie and Craig. But that's all. Bye-bye, guys.